I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ken is off today. Deborah's here, though.
Hey, John.
All right, so we're ready to roll here because we had something that could have been horrendous. Something really good happened. The police thwarted a possible massacre in Hollywood. We've got Blake Trolley on the case, and he's going to explain what went on here. This could have been really awful.
John, this could have been absolutely terrible, and I think a big part of that is just let me set the picture here. This man was on the 18th floor of an apartment building just off Sunset, and the Park Police think he may have been planning to shoot down onto, so he would have been shooting down from his apartment onto this park. It's kind of a courtyard-style park off the building. So think of this as a place for people in the building to get outside. It's pretty much fenced off all the way around. There's two exits, but really one main exit, and that main exit is really the size of a doorway. I'm told 15 to 20 people are usually there at a time. So if a mass shooting like the one this guy could have been planning was to happen, it would have been terrible. There are a few gardens, a few planters in the area people maybe could have taken some sort of cover behind. But based on how high up he was, he would probably be able to still shoot down onto them. And if they were to try to exit again, this would be a real funnel situation. So back to the park. The park, mostly dirt with some benches. There's two narrow exits to get in and out of. There's really only one main exit. The other exit you'd have to latch open. And again, not a lot of cover. So on Tuesday, calls start coming in because the guy was threatening people near the building who may have been his neighbors. He was also threatening security guards at the front door. LAPD Lieutenant Leon Sapp says officers responded. They arrested the guy. They also got a search warrant to go inside his home. Neighbors told me during this process they were told to either stay in their units or not enter the building. Police were going door to door looking for him.
The suspect was located on the 18th floor of an apartment building with large windows with a view, an unobstructed view of a public and park downstairs. And the some of the rifles were pointed outside of the windows.
So, yeah, several rifles there pointed at the window. Sapp says when officers went inside the guy's apartment, they found two assault rifles, high-capacity magazines, a sniper rifle, handguns, a shotgun, and more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
The assault rifles are obviously illegal in the state of California. The high-capacity magazines are illegal in the state of California. And I do not believe they're registered to him either. So most of the, again, two rifles are illegal in the state of California, and the high-capacity magazines are illegal in the state of California as well, illegal to possess.
This guy's been identified as Braxton Johnson. Police say he recently moved out here from the East Coast. And we're learning this was not the first time officers had made contact with the man. We're working to find out what those earlier calls were for. But as police mentioned, again, he only recently moved in, so it's kind of concerning. He already racked up some calls. My guess would be it could have come from the neighbors. This guy who lives in the building says he knows people who are neighbors with this guy. Those people, he says, knew exactly who the suspect was when they heard the story about what was happening in their building.
They had mentioned that they had made complaints about him, kind of just erratic behavior, a lot of loud music. So they had complained to the building a few times, and then they said there was some like threats made. But I didn't personally have any interaction with him.
What did your neighbors exactly say? Can you maybe detail that a little bit more?
They said his direct neighbors are saying that they had like just a lot of loud music from like midnight to 6 a.m. Just, you know, so a lot of noise complaints and just kind of a stranger guy. But
another neighbor said the guy told him he was in the military, then told him that the CIA was watching him. One dog owner says the guy made a comment about possibly sniping his dog. And back to the guy who lives in the building. Yeah, he said he and his neighbors really they're just so shaken up by this.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying because they said he had guns lined up facing the window. And, you know, we have a group of probably 15, 20 people that are here every night with our dogs. So to think that, you know, just going to the dog park could be a dangerous situation now. It's kind of makes you realize to keep aware of like your surroundings and just kind of keep your head on a swivel.
And again, the guy moved from the East Coast. Police say he's being investigated for a violent crime there. John, we're working to figure out what that is.
So the guns are arranged on a table pointing at the windows. Did he have the windows open?
You know, I don't know if the windows were open. I know he had a couple of the guns kind of up on a stand, like a gun stand where he would be able to shoot down on the park. And I think the real terrifying part of all of this, aside from the fact that he had these high-powered guns, is people would really have nowhere to go, John. I mean, this park would really act as a cage in a situation like that, because while there is technically a second exit, it's really not obvious. As one of the neighbors pointed out, most people wouldn't even know to go there. It has a latch door, so there would still be that delay. So everybody would really be piling up to the main exit, and he'd be shooting down on them.
Yeah, in a panic, you would go for the big exit.
Exactly.
You wouldn't be looking around for a minor exit. Did you talk to this Captain Raymond? I don't know how you say his name, Valois?
No, you know, I'm still working to get in touch with police on all of this and find out more about, you know, what may have led up to this. And I'm also trying to figure out why they were called out to that building, because, again, they were called out, it sounds like, several times on this guy's behalf. He'd only been there for a little bit. One guy said he saw him in the elevator wearing a bulletproof vest one day.
Yeah, it says in one story from Channel 4 that this guy threatened a security man at the front door. And then they made a mental illness call to the police.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was the initial call, is that he threatened a security guard, and he also had threatened some people outside the building. And from what neighbors tell me around the building, it sounds like he may have threatened people who live inside the building.
I wonder what the nature of the threats were.
That's all stuff we're still trying to figure out. Yeah, I put multiple calls into the LAPD's Hollywood station to just try to figure out exactly, you know, what he was saying. I mean, again, you know, the person who had talked about the fact that he made some off comment about possibly sniping his dog is very concerning.
Yeah, that's always a bad sign. When they go after animals or threaten to go after animals. All right. Well, listen, if you find anything else out this afternoon, let us know. All right. We'll put you back on.
All right. Thanks,
John. All right. It's Blake Trolley, KFI News. And, you know, there's always 2 weeks worth of attention when a shooting actually occurs. But when the police thwart one, it gets about 5 minutes of attention. And, I mean, they found in Braxton Johnson's apartment bulletproof vests, 1,000 rounds of ammunition, several types of weapons, high-powered rifles, and a bolt-action rifle could easily reach a half a mile if fired. So if he was a sharpshooter, he easily could have taken out a lot of people in that courtyard park. The apartment has floor-to-ceiling windows. And you can see Hollywood Boulevard, the Capitol Records building, the 101 freeway. So he had a lot to shoot at there. And some of the weapons he had were illegal. So I don't know how it happened, but it looks like those 100-plus gun control laws didn't keep Braxton Johnson from having illegal rifles in his apartment and coming this close to massacring probably a couple of dozen people at least, depending on the time that he decided to shoot. When we come back, we'll talk about all the gun laws we have in the state, because the New York Times had a story that says California has more than 100 gun laws. Why don't they stop more mass shootings? Why do you think that is? Also, when we come back, we've got cash giveaway. Got $1,000. So listen for the keyword. I'm going to give it to you right after the news and our commercial break. And also, we've got some room at the Moist Line. There is vacancy at the Moist Line. So what's the number? 877-MOIST-86? Right. 877-MOIST-86. So call that and unleash all your fury and anger at the world here on KFI. John and Ken show. Ken is off today, and we're on from 1 to 4, as you may have noticed. And then after 4, you can hear us on the podcast at the iHeartRadio app or at KFIAM640.com. We just finished up last segment with Blake Trolley, LAPD. They stopped what could have been an impending massacre in Hollywood at an apartment. This guy named Braxton Johnson, 24 years old, here from the East Coast, where there's some investigation into a violent crime he may have committed there. Braxton Johnson came here, and he had an 18th floor apartment, floor-to-ceiling windows, and they found high-powered rifles, 1,000 rounds of ammunition, bulletproof vests, and rifles pointed at the window right below him. Easy shooting distance, there was a courtyard park that you can have a couple of dozen people normally using, depending on the time of day, with one exit. And this guy is nuts, and he had made threats to various people, including a security guard down near the front door. Somebody in security called the police, and they actually showed up. They just didn't dismiss it as a homeless crank. They came, and according to Captain Raymond Valois, it was a possible male with mental illness call. And then when they eventually got into the apartment, they found enough weapons that Valois said, "I absolutely believe they prevented a mass shooting. It was just a matter of time before this suspect may have started shooting out of the apartment." Now, some of these rifles are illegal, which ties into an article in the New York Times today. And I know this is going to be hard to understand, but we have over 100 gun laws, and which is fine. You can pass all the gun laws you want. I've never owned a gun. I'm not part of gun culture. Fired a gun once. Actually, it was on the air for a stunt when we went to a shooting range. So I'm not a gun guy. But when I look at what politicians prattle on about, and Newsom has been preening, including this week, about passing anti-gun laws, you have to ask, well, do they work? And even the New York Times, which is normally lost in woke land these days, says California has more than 100 gun laws. Why don't they stop more mass shootings, right? Because we had the dance hall shooting, followed by the mushroom farm shooting, and then the rap party shooting, which the El Segundo Times still doesn't want to do much reporting on. And now you have this guy. God knows how many people he could have killed in Hollywood. He's got 1,000 rounds of ammunition. So, you know, it makes you smack yourself in the head. How could this be? They passed 100 gun laws. And, of course, if you're a thinking person and not an emotional member of a political cult, you know that it's impossible to stop people from possessing guns, whether they're legal or illegal. For one thing, all the guns that were legal before they were declared illegal still exist. And often it's legal to still possess them. They're grandfathered in. Now, people who give up their guns because they're illegal, well, they end up being owned by somebody else somewhere. And since we have open borders, not only within the United States but in Mexico as well, God knows how many thousands of guns cross California lines every year. It's impossible to know. But the state with the most gun laws out of all 50, California. And now, after a whole run of gun shootings just in the last week or two, New York Times is looking into this like, gee, how'd this happen? Well, let's talk about the dance studio and the mushroom farm. Ah, both men appeared to have been in the throes of a mental health crisis. Wow. Well, you know, they should make mental health crises illegal. How about that? They ought to just ban mental health issues. Like this guy in Hollywood today, he had a mental health issue. That's why they went to see him, because the security guard said he was acting nutty and making threats. Well, banning mental health issues would be just as effective as banning guns, wouldn't it? You can't do it. The gun still exists. The mental health problem still exists. The two old guys who did the shooting both had highly regulated weapons that cannot be legally acquired in California without numerous safeguards. And again, we're talking about mushroom farm killer and dance hall killer. Wow. Look at that. Their weapons highly regulated. Numerous safeguards. Cannot be acquired legally otherwise. But both slipped through the public safety and health regulations that California imposes. Imagine that. Imagine people getting around regulations. The gun in Monterey Park at the dance hall shooting was a Cobra M11/9 semi-automatic pistol. Again, I don't know this stuff, but it had a 30-round magazine and a homemade silencer. Well, that's all that's illegal. Can't buy it, can't sell it in California. This goes back to the 1970s and 80s. It's considered an assault weapon. It had a threaded barrel, an illegal suppressor. In fact, the guy was making his own suppressors. And again, used to be known as a silencer, so you don't hear the bang. In 1999, Tran purchased the weapon in Monterey Park. They stopped selling these guns at licensed retailers decades ago. Well, that doesn't mean... See, the people who go to the licensed retailers, they're not the danger. It's the people who are buying guns on the black market that can't be controlled. And there's tons of guns coming over the Mexican border, but nobody seems to care about that. And a lot of this stuff has been banned since 2000. And, you know, this story goes on and on because everybody's frustrated. They because they can't control the world. See, what you do is you take crazy people and evil people and you put them away in either a mental institution or a prison. See, nobody can kill with a gun from inside a mental institution, nor a prison. Tran had been arrested in 1990 for unlawful possession of a firearm. It's unclear if he was ever convicted. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, really? It's unclear? This story's 2 weeks old and they don't know if a guy was convicted? What? It's amazing how little information newspapers are able to get from public records. Shouldn't that be easily accessible? Shouldn't there be a database online that lists the name of everybody who's ever been convicted of anything? In Half Moon Bay, the guy who shot up the people at the mushroom farm had a temporary restraining order against him because he threatened to kill someone and tried to suffocate him. But he had legally bought a semi-automatic weapon 2 years ago in California, and eventually the restraining order expired in July of 2013. We have red flag laws that allow police and family and employees and employers and coworkers to petition a court for a gun violence restraining order, but they're not used very much. So if people don't use them, you can't get guns taken away. And one more thing, victims of mass shootings make up about 1% of overall gun deaths in the United States. It gets all the headlines. I mean, I think the LA Times is up to 19 stories or so on the Monterey Park shooting. But you could add up all the mass shootings that you've ever heard of, and that's 1%. The other 99% is not discussed. Because there's much more interest in these random attacks than there is the day-to-day carnage. which, again, you can't stop anyway. And I you know, that's the point. It's another thing we're getting into later with like Karen Bass and her Inside Safe program that got publicity now for, what, about 6-7 weeks? The gun laws aren't working. Is her homeless program working? I mean, she's been in office 50 days. In fact, LA Magazine did a 50-day study of what she's done so far, and it was a pretty slim pickings there. So we'll get to that coming up next on the John and Ken Show, KFI. Karen Bass has been office 50 days. Karen Bassetti, as we like to call her here, because so far her first 50 days has been indistinguishable from Garcetti's last 50 days. And it's time for the suck-up brigade, these people who pass as local journalists, to start polishing up Karen Bass to find the bright side of the last 50 days where practically nothing's been done, especially on homelessness, with a couple of small exceptions. John Rigardi writes for LA Magazine, 7 takeaways from Karen Bass's first 50 days. And I'm thinking, wow, 7 takeaways? There's 7 matters that are worth discussing, according to this character? All right, well, let's see here. Number one, she's good at branding. Let's look further. During her inauguration speech in the Microsoft Theater, Bass uttered the phrase, lock arms, multiple times. In other words, she wants to get different agencies to lock arms to fight homelessness. And apparently this phrase has spread, according to LA Magazine. The new head of LASA used the phrase, and so did the inept county supervisor, Janice Hahn. She also used lock arms. Oh, so a memo must have been sent out. We're all going to lock arms. He writes, it may seem trivial. Well, yeah, but branding matters. No, all that matters is, I think we've all heard plenty of slogans, just get the vagrants off the streets immediately. I mean, you could use that as a slogan. Vagrants off the streets. That sounds catchy if you follow through. Then he says the coalition thing is real. You know, she keeps promising she's going to get all these agencies and the county board, the city council, all on the same page. Okay. First of all, that's their job. All these people have jobs, and one of them right now is to get the vagrants off the streets. So this idea, she built a coalition. Everyone's on the same page. That's what they're paid for. This is not some kind of a superpower, but again, what's the result? We'll get to the bottom line in just a moment. She is open to more than permanent housing. Bass, like Garcetti before her, knows the city needs hundreds of thousands of new residential units. Really? And who's paying for that at $800,000 a pop? Hundreds of thousands? Why do we need hundreds of thousands? We only have 40,000 homeless, which is overwhelming. We're supposed to build hundreds of thousands of units? The city can barely build any, partly because of all their own bureaucracy and red tape and stupid rules. But Bass is willing to you know, give them temporary shelter. Hotels, motels. Now, we get to the bottom line here. We've had 50 days of speeches and slogans. 50 days of photo ops. Inside Safe. You know how many people Karen Bass has gotten off the street? 120. 120 vagrants have been removed from the street. I think most of them in Tracy Park's district, because Tracy Park's the only council person who seems to be interested in cooperating to be part of the coalition. 120. We've got 42,000 people living in their own waste in the streets. And Karen Bass got 120 off in 50 days. So an average of a little more than two a day. Which means, you know, at this rate, she'll have about 3,000 off the streets in 4 years. And, of course, they'll all be replaced by all the bus loads and train loads that arrive in the city every day. So I don't know how two a day gets you anywhere. He does say that people are starting to question if Rick Caruso had become mayor, would we have a lot more than two people a day off the streets? Yeah, well, I can't predict what would have happened in an alternate universe, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yeah, Rick Caruso probably would have gotten more than two people a day off the streets. And by the way, you notice at least LA Magazine is doing a count. The LA Times doesn't touch this. They don't talk about Bass's failure so far to do anything productive, nor do they cover shooting sprees at rap parties. And then this guy writes, John Rigardi, that she is a kind of a mystery. We are seeing a lot of Bass, but does the public really feel they know her personally or have a strong sense of what is important to her beyond politics? I don't think so. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, and she is likable, which counts. Well, no, it doesn't matter if she's likable or not. It matters if she gets the job done. Enough with this likable business. I realize that's the number one reason people vote, and that's why we have so many awful politicians and we have so many intractable problems, is because you don't use your intelligence and look at what somebody has done and is capable of doing on a particular issue. It's like, oh, I don't know, I just like her smile. She seems really nice. She's getting two homeless off the streets a day. And this is from LA Magazine, by the way, which is pretty far out in progressive land. And they can only find two people a day taken off the streets. Let's see, another quality she has. She seems to understand leadership. And it's about all the speeches that she has made, all the public statements she has made. It doesn't matter. We had plenty of gas coming out of Garcetti's mouth too. Newsom is constantly spewing nonsense. Nobody wants to hear any of these people talk. They don't really have anything to say. All of them have allowed tens of thousands of people to pile up on the streets. Tens of thousands of bodies to pile up on the street. And let's see, we've got 2,000 people dying a year in Los Angeles. In fact, we have more people dying on the streets of Los Angeles every day than she is moving into shelter, right? Because I think, if I remember, we have now about five people a day dying on the streets of LA. And she removes two people a day. I don't know, is she counting the people who are deceased? Does she include that in her removal statistics? In fact, I think there's a stretch in Sherman Oaks where four people have died in just the last couple of weeks. I just like a one block area. All right, we got more coming up on the John and Ken show. There's a vacancies on the Moist line for this week, 877-MOIST-86, 877-MOIST-86. Coming up after 2 o'clock, the hell did I do with it? Oh, here it is. I know what I'm going to do. I just forget the word. Uh-huh. Do you remember the Echo Park Lake vagrant situation where 200 people were kicked out of the park? Disgusting encampment. And you had insane activists terrorizing the neighbors because they were so allegedly angry over this. Well, they put up a chain link fence around Echo Park Lake, but the old city councilman, the cruise ship dancer, Mitch O'Farrell, is gone. And now they have this communist guy who's the councilman, Hugo Soto Martinez. And he wants the chain link fence taken down. And then what's going to happen? Well, there's all kinds of rhetoric. He's very unhappy that the unhoused have been, their little encampments have been disrupted. So, boy, you're in for hard times in Echo Park Lake because of the nut you elected. We'll explain all this coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI. City councilman was Mitch O'Farrell. better known as the cruise ship dancer, because that's what he used to be. Not very bright, but, you know, he was running for re-election, and he thought, wow, everybody's mad at me. I better get the homeless people out of the park, which he did, and then he lost anyway. And what replaced him was this councilman, Hugo Soto Martinez. Now, you may think, and I understand why you'd think, is that our show is just full of hyperbole, right? Call people names. It's just a lot of hyperbole and exaggeration. And I understand why you might think that, but it's not true. If we call somebody a socialist or a communist, it's because they actually are. Or they have beliefs which line up very closely. And one guy that we've told you about is now the new councilman, Hugo Soto Martinez. Now, Hugo Soto Martinez is a member of the Democratic Socialists of America. Well, they could drop the word democratic. They are, it's a socialist organization. In fact, they say so. If you go on their website, when he was running for office, they put an announcement saying, DSALA endorses our chapter comrade, Hugo Soto Martinez. See, they're embracing the communist terms, our comrade. Because Hugo is a socialist, a union organizer, and he's fighting to make Los Angeles for all, to accelerate the leftward shift in Los Angeles city politics, to elect a longtime socialist union organizer, to activate hundreds of our members in a diverse renter-heavy district. And DSALA is running a socialist election campaign to support him. We want to bring more socialists together to tax the rich and build a Los Angeles for everyone. Well, that includes homeless people, which is why the Democratic Socialists of America get so violent in their protection of homeless people. It's funny that so many of the activists are rich kids, but, you know, that's some weird pathology that I don't have time to get into right now. I don't really understand it. Christopher Rufo is a writer that we've had on frequently, and we had him on when Seattle was falling apart several years ago, and he wrote about these groups. And Christopher Rufo has said that Antifa is the paramilitary wing of the Democratic Socialists of America, which now has three council people as part of the LA City Council. So it's not Republicans, Democrats anymore. It's Democrats and Democratic Socialists of America. There's three of them on the council. One of them, Hugo Soto Martinez. Mike Bonin's office was filled with this crowd as well. He might as well have been a member, even though he wasn't officially. And this is all a lead up to telling you that Hugo Soto Martinez says that a chain link fence, which is surrounding Echo Park Lake, is going to be removed. This is what the city put up after they took out 200 people who were living in these disgusting encampments and terrorizing the neighborhood. Because Soto Martinez says, we will take down the fence and we'll take painstaking care to do it right with more transparency. Transparency. So the city can see once and for all that criminalization and segregation don't solve homelessness. I see. So getting homeless people out of the park is considered segregation now. They have a civil right to live with the parents and children playing in the playground. This is how extreme and how nuts he is. Nithya Raman is another one. And, of course, you've seen what she allows. She allows homeless people, criminals, gun runners, gang members who sell guns to live in tents directly in front of schools in Los Feliz. So this is like the worst form of anarchy. And that's what the DSA is they're anarchists, hence their connection to Antifa. Antifa is the group that'll set fires, destroy buildings. They have the weapons. The DSA is the legislative wing of this anarchist movement. And everything is about destabilizing and undermining our peaceful way of life. America is illegitimate. Capitalism is illegitimate. Owning property is illegitimate. These were all the tenets of the communists in Russia. These are the tenets of the communist government in Cuba. And they somehow have gotten a foothold here and in certain districts. So now Echo Park Lake is up for grabs again. The police had arrested 180 people. And the LA Daily News points out, including journalists. That's a no-no. They got a lot of homeless people, a lot of activists. There was, you know, an attempted riot, basically, by the activists. Soto Martinez said it was a violent displacement of unhoused individuals and peaceful protesters. The thing is, the city, and, you know, this is Dopey Mitch O'Farrell and Dopey Garcetti, they removed 183 people in the encampments. Only 17 of them got long-term housing. This is according to a report by UCLA. So all that hubbub, all the billions of dollars that we put in, finally shut down a park, removed nearly 200 people, and only 17 of them get long-term housing. I don't know where all the other 167 people are, but anyway, the fence is going to come down, and now what? And with the left-wing media, I mean, City News Service, which I'm sure is filled with supportive socialists, say that the protesters blasted the city for forcing the homeless residents out of an area that had grown into a supportive community during the pandemic, including a vegetable garden, working showers, and a shared kitchen. So apparently if you plant a vegetable garden in a public park, you're free to run around naked, snort meth, inject fentanyl, commit illegal sex acts. Yeah, I mean, you know how many sex molesters they find in these homeless encampments? Yeah, you know how many guys they find with violent records? How many drug addicts? How many mentally ill people? But hey, if you plant a vegetable garden, hey, all is forgiven. Cool. Just go ahead. Squat in the sandbox. Do what you want. Don't worry about the kids and the mothers trying to enjoy the afternoon. You planted a vegetable garden, therefore you're noble. Anyway, that's Hugo Soto Martinez. He's now going to help destroy for a second time Echo Park Lake unless somebody stops him. And there is somebody very upset about this, and we're going to talk to him next. His name is Riley Montgomery. He's a resident. He was with us almost 2 years ago to talk about the mayhem that was going on in the park when they finally closed it. And Riley's not happy about part two, the sequel, The Vagrant's Return. And we will discuss things with him in just a few minutes.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.